And we're here in the Hudson studio with Francine Hunter McGivern, who has a new gallery called CR10 on County Route 10 in Linlithgow. And welcome, Francine. We're so happy to have you here and to hear you that you are a fan of WGXC is even better.
Well, thank you for having me, and really it's my great pleasure to give my small donation today in person to the fundraiser. And I'm a huge fan of Phil, and I listen to the Thursday show and all the different types of music and all the news, and I just am a huge fan of radio. I had my own radio station in college in the 60s, so, you know, I love radio. What can I say? Thanks for having me.
So tell us about CR10 a little bit.
Well, CR10 was actually the way in which the building was listed on the website. It didn't have any number before it. It just had a picture of the building and CR10. And I knew of the area, Linlithgow, because Mark McDonald, who is a mid-century dealer in New York, I've known Mark about 30-something years. And I used to visit him up here with a lot of our mutual friends, a lot of whom are not with us anymore. And I wanted my husband now to see the area, and we drove by the building, and there was a small sign on it, and I called the cell phone number, nobody picked up, and then a year later, I was up here visiting Sean Kelly, had a big housewarming party in Chatham, and we drove by, and there was a broker sign, you know, and I called the broker, and he came out in 10 minutes, and it happened really fast, and I don't think anybody else was going to buy the building because it's a strange set of circumstances. It's zoned residentially, the area, so there couldn't be any commercial use, and I have basically a what's called a status of artists with secondary use, sort of, so I fit into the zoning, but it was just a shell, and not a lot of people were going to buy into the cash cow.
So are you fairly close to Wireless Road then, to Mark there?
To Wire Road? Well, Mark isn't there anymore, but yeah, he's out in Hillsdale now. But it's about a mile in from 9G, so it's very close to Wire Road, kind of. And my neighbor, Wayne Raymond, his father built the building in 55. It's a block building, about 15,000 square feet of two floors, 7,500 square foot each. And, you know, I just responded to the geometry of the building. It's a very much a replica of, you know, Donald Judd and Chinati type of, you know, Robert Irwin, 109 windows. And, the space itself is just magical. It has a rare purity to it.
Did you find it empty?
It was completely empty. It was just a shell. I had to bring everything in and redo everything. I've spent 2 years, reconstituting the building for this purpose, and it's been a real creative process, very educational, and it has 109 windows, 9 doors, and then I have 3 acres of woods in the back. So the CR10, you know, I just felt like I didn't really need to find another name, because if you look at it, it's really 0 to 1, and I sort of live in the 0 to 1 world. So
is it, will you have it open all winter as well?
No, I think the programming will be from probably April through November. And the mission is really to build a site-specific multidisciplinary project space, which really addresses the artists who work in the conceptual multimedia world of minimal kind of expression, which doesn't exclude any medium. It's just that, you know, for me, I'd like to sustain the role as creative director and work with other people who bring projects that are site-specific to the building itself, rather than take the position of curator, although I have curated these first shows just to establish the mission.
Well, you opened your first show at the end of July, the same weekend that the NADA show was here, I know. And the name of that exhibition was Enter. And this new exhibition is called Proceed. So can you tell me what the significance of those titles is?
Well, the first show, the inaugural show, I really, because the building is so grand in its minimal simplicity, it's very hard to really compete with that kind of space. So I felt that I wanted to curate a group of artists who basically gave a response to the initiating idea of initiating the space and initiation in a ritualistic way where the artists installed works that sort of addressed the space and also the beginning of something. So I wanted the public to see it as an enter and just kind of walk in, and then if you come across something, that's part of what's going on in there. So it was a lot about a kind of an initiation in a Masonic way or a metaphysical way of really acknowledging the architecture. And then, you know, for the second show, which I can't believe I did two shows so quickly, and I'm really, this isn't what I've done in most of my life, but it's about Proceed, which to me is about acknowledgement in the creative process, not really information, but to acknowledge, and then the acknowledgement is to proceed. And I'm a big believer in that there's this sort of inherent consciousness in being present when you choose the action of creativity. And that sort of, presence in the artist's process, it really gives this participatory liberation to oneself and hopefully to the work. And then I think that is basically, experienced for creative individuals as being part of a continuum in a very universal sort of, metaphysical way. So Proceed just seemed like the continuum. And also the works in the show I've chosen around a sense of continuum, repetition, continuum, in a very kind of large parenthesis of relational imagery and technique, which I think the viewer will experience.
For example, what might one see? What is the say?
Well, there are 10 artists in this upcoming show, which opens on Saturday, September 22nd, and seven of the works are video or projections, and I think five of the works, there are 10 artists, and I think there are 12 works. So there are a couple of three sculptural installations, a very large neon installation piece, and all the rest are video and projection works, some of which are site-specific, projected into the architecture itself, and a lot of them are video monitors with some sound pieces as part of those works, and some of them are just silent imagery and video.
And what we're hearing in the background is Christian Marclay's Telephones, which is one of the pieces in the... this is the audio from the video.
That's very cool, Ron. That was really his first work. I mean, that's kind of what started him on this whole...
Right. Those aren't people calling in and dialing 828-0290 to donate, but they're Hollywood stars on the clips from different movies with people talking on the phone or calling people.
Are you using both floors for the show?
Yes. There's in the front of the building, I removed about 400 or 500 square feet of the original floor and created a double height gallery, a lobby space. And it's very beautiful. And then I designed a very large 12 steps from oak beams. Wow, here comes some cash. And
now the
you kind of
ringing.
Go up to the second gallery. So there's the lobby gallery, the lower gallery, and the upper gallery. Three gallery spaces.
And when, what days do you keep it open?
Well, for the season, I'm always open 12 to 5, Saturday and Sunday. And basically by appointment, during the summer I tried to be there. But I tell people, if you see my, Toyota Tacoma in the side of the building, I'm there, just knock on the door. And I have a couple of interns that have been helping me over the summer, and hopefully as the season goes on, this show will stay up till Thanksgiving, because I'd like to really kind of push it a little bit more to get some reviews of the work and really just get more people in to understand what I'm doing there, to bring other curatorial projects to the space, because as I mentioned, I don't really want to continue to curate. I want to have a platform for other people to bring a program there and produce it in collaboration, because you know, I don't have a sponsor and I don't have non-for-profit status, so it's just me at this point. So I'm hoping to work with BARD and possibly the School of Visual Arts and a couple of other
But you'll primarily be interested in conceptual work.
Hello? Kind of. I think multidisciplinary, multimedia, conceptual. I mean, I like to be part of the discourse around the projects that people bring in, so that there's some kind of symbiotic relationship to the idea. So I would say idea-based, theory-based, so that, you know, it doesn't exclude anything, but it's not really, you know, I want to be supportive of it and help it happen, other people bringing programming there. That's my real goal, is that the programming is expanded to all types of other people, whether it's theater, performance, music, you know, think tanks, discussions, you know, all of that. I just would like to have a kind of a cutting edge and really kind of adhere to the old school of Dia Foundation, PS1, Clock Tower, where, you know, they were community art spaces that were defined by a level of discourse amongst the participants.
And you were involved with some of those spaces?
Yes, I'm very fortunate. I was born in Manhattan, but I spent a lot of time moving around as a kid and came back a few times. But I you know, have been there pretty much since the mid to late 70s. So I was very fortunate to meet a lot of the artists who, you know, were part of DIA. And Alana Heiss, is, you know, was a close friend, and Joseph Kasuth, and Richard Serra, and, you know, Max Neuhaus, and Keith Saunier, and Mary Heilman, and, you know, Joan Jonas, and they were very much people who influenced me in the sense of my own work. I started as in performance, really, with a kind of an entertainment foundation. You know, we didn't say the word performance art. You know, I wasn't Joan Jonas, you know, in 1977, so the best I could be was entertaining, you know. So as time went by, you know, when I started making objects, I was much older. And I started performance work, and I use video to document everything. So I always had a love of video and documentation and sort of the spontaneity of one time only, and then you just have the document, and archivally that's kind of the work. And then ultimately I found a voice mostly through, you know, artists of that period in time, and that's really where I learned about conceptual art and minimal art. You know, Vito Acconci, huge hero of mine, if you weren't in New York, you really weren't going to see or know about that kind of work. So you know, I feel blessed that I got to really experience that and a different kind of way in which multi-generational artists interacted in those days was really fantastic. There were young and old always in the same rooms.
And is this your first gallery space that you've actually managed yourself?
Well, I like to be quite clear with people that I'm not a gallery. In a way, because I am not in any way interested in selling art. And I don't really, I mean, I'm very much interested in being a cipher and a rainmaker in the position that I take in this project. But I would like to find ways of supporting the programming between now and when I'm able to get, if I can get, non-for-profit, that will allow me to keep the integrity of the programming other than selling. I'm not really interested in selling art. I started collecting contemporary art when I was in my late 20s through the artists that I know, and so I was an artist who collected, you know, my friend's work in a way of, you know, bartering or whatever. I had a business when I was 27 called Jungle Red Studios, and it was kind of a simulacrum of Warhol gestalt, and it was life imitates art, and I went to school and I got a license to kill called a hairdressing license, and I opened a hair salon, and I had a whole world of late 70s connections to fashion and art and music. I did a lot of record covers. I traveled with Bruce Springsteen. I did shows for, I did costume for Saturday Night Live. I did record covers for the Village People. I worked in TV, media, film. But I had my own entity, like Andy. So I sold myself to get money to put back into Jungle Red Studios so that I could basically produce the work that I created in Jungle Red Studios as a name, my alter ego. And I performed under that name. And I have a very extensive archive from 1977 through 1990. And it was an internationally appreciated, entity, which, kind of broke down a lot of entrepreneurial borders for people who, at the time, that you can do you and be you, and you can, make a buck and put it back into yourself. And so I'm very blessed that I have left and right brain, and so I've always worked for myself. But I'm retired now, and, I work very hard for what I have. I worked in real estate by the time I started at 50. When I moved back from Italy, I'd lived there for about 9.5 years. I moved back, and, I got a license in real estate. It's all about night school, So I did very well. I was a senior vice president with a large company, and I lived in Tribeca since 77, and I bought, 6 buildings with the people who lived in the buildings, and I converted them, and I learned a lot. So all of that kind of experience is great, but you're always kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul in terms of making time to make your own work. So I just got to this time in life, I just said I'm just going to be Frank Sinatra and do it my way, and just give something, just give something that's about I believe a function in the arts that we're losing, this kind of community of exchange without profit.
And it was basically your friendship with Mark McDonald that brought you to this neck of the
woods?
Well,
Mark, like I said, I met him in 82 through Peter Reed and James Ford. Peter was a dance theater person, very, very well respected, and James Ford, a sculptor. They both passed away from AIDS. And I met Mark and Ralph, Mark's partner at the time, and, I used to come up and visit them. And Hap Tivy, who was in the show recently, the last show, light artist from California, who lives up here, teaches at Bard, I met him then. So, I didn't really spend a lot of time up here, but I knew how beautiful the land was, and it was kind of a two-hour idea of where people could come from New York and still be part of what so many people ahead of me have already laid as a foundation for culture here.
Thank you so much for coming in and for being such a big fan of WGXC. That's a bonus for us. And I think what you're doing in Lynn Lithgow is really exciting. So